is D-Day NDC 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980. We're live on the free Odyssey app as well. You can tweet me at the Denton Day. We are a week away from cutdown day in the NFL, where Washington is going to have to trim its roster and make a few really difficult decisions and cut this thing down to 53. We played two preseason games. There is one final one this upcoming week against Baltimore. There's also a joint practice against Baltimore this week. You're going to learn a lot more. The team's going to learn a lot more and use a lot more information long-term from the joint practice than they will the preseason game, because the starters are going to be going in the joint practice. I know there's going to be a lot of people. This has been a very big topic of discussion about preseason versus joint practices. Don't shoot the messenger, please. But with no starters playing in the preseason game this week, or more likely than not, no starter is going to play in the preseason week, that joint practice is going to be really crucial for some of these decisions and seeing how guys look. I would like them to have another center. I don't have another center on my list of final 53 yet, though maybe another swing at this thing and I would put another center on this final 53. I'm going to go over just the offense here to start. We can react to it. You can call me an idiot for the moves that I have that you don't like. You can call me a genius for the moves I have on here that you do like. The quarterback is pretty simple. I have them keeping three: Jaden Daniels, Marcus Mariota, Ethan Calliope-Manis. Shouldn't be a lot of pushback on that one. I think everyone has been really impressed with what Ethan Calliope-Manis has looked like. Obviously, Jaden Daniels is the prince that was promised and is projected the guy that's tasked with being the savior of this organization and lifting them in 2026, hopefully, to the heights that he lifted them in 2024. And I think you keep Marcus Mariota around. If nothing else, he's a good veteran presence to have in the locker room. And I like the idea of keeping three quarterbacks. I have four running backs making this roster. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, who is going to be running back one and should get the bulk of the carries in 2026. He's had a really strong camp. You can tell the difference he has made in terms of his workouts and in terms of his health regimen from year one to year number two. He just looks like he's in significantly better shape. He said in multiple interviews, or on a television interview with one of our affiliates, I forget who it was, I think it might have been with Scott at ABC, but he said he's put away the Chick-fil-A, he's put away the Popeyes, he's eating healthy, he's eating clean, and I think you've seen his performance in camp reflect that. So Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, a surefire on the roster. The conspiracy around Rashad White and the Ice Bucket Challenge was thankfully debunked, but he's making this roster. He was back at practice on Thursday, which was a kind of a glorified walkthrough. That was the first practice that was closed to fans, but those of us in the media who have been out there at camp, we got to be out there, and I've been at camp every day except for one. That happened to be the day that Laramie Tunsil tore his tricep, but I've been at camp every other day. I like Rashad White. I think they really like Rashad White because of his versatility out of the backfield. So he's on the roster. Catron Allen is on this roster. He looked really good in the preseason game against Miami. The offensive line in total did not perform well against Detroit. It was more than just the ones and more than just the center position with the ones. So he didn't have a great performance statistically, but I think they love the style that Catron Allen runs with. So I have him on the team. And then the fourth running back, because sometimes you just have to have the old reliable guy, is Jeremy McNichols. I think a lot of us really loved what we saw from Robert Henry in preseason game number one against Miami. That was a huge surprise to me because I didn't really see that at camp. Now, at camp, it's very difficult to judge a running back because they blow the whistle when they're touched, even with pads. You know, the idea is not to take anybody to the ground, to as best as you can make sure that no injuries take place, avoid them at any and all cost. I hadn't seen a lot from Robert Henry. He has that crazy game against Miami, gets everybody's attention. I didn't love the way that he played against Detroit. I think in pass protection, he struggles a little bit. He wasn't hitting the hole, I think, as as hard as he could have against Detroit. I thought, despite the fact that Catron Allen was only averaging 3 yards a carry, he was hitting and attacking the hole. It's just the offensive line was not doing the best job in the world in keeping the hole open for him. So I do not have Robert Henry on this list. I do have Jeremy McNichols. I have four tight ends: Chigakonkwo, John Bates, Ben Sinnott, Colson Yankoff. Chig and Jaden have really started to develop a chemistry over the last week and change. While John Bates did miss the block, they're still pretty confident in him. I think they really love what they have in John Bates. Colson Yankoff has been making plays every single practice that I have been at. It feels like he makes some sort of play. Sometimes that's just a 12-yard reception on 11-on-11s. Other times, he jumps over two guys and makes a catch in the back of the end zone for a touchdown. Both of those have happened, one of which has happened multiple times on like the shorter stuff. The jumping over two guys has only happened once, but that's one of those things that you remember for a little bit. So I really like what they have in Colson Yankoff, and I don't think they're out on Ben Sinnott yet. I know some people are out on Ben Sinnott. I do not think they're out on Ben Sinnott. The offensive line, so I did not play like super free agency guy with this list. I would take a few guys off in favor of signing some guys in free agency. I did not go super free agency mode, so I got Coleman, Cosme, Allegretti, Chris Paul, Connerly, Wiley, Golbin, Trent Scott, and Julian Good-Jones. It's fair to point to this list and say Good-Jones should not be on this list. Maybe you move on from Trent Scott as well in the favor of getting another left tackle that you can then use, of getting another center that you can then use, and then maybe having Allegretti play a different position. I mean, honestly, if they wanted to, they could get another center, not get a left tackle, say we really like what we have in Brandon Coleman, and then just stick Allegretti at left guard. So you would have Coleman, Allegretti, whatever other center they take or they pick up, Cosme and Connerly. And that unit is better. If they want to get really crazy, you get Taylor Decker, who's 32 years old, to play left tackle. You move Brandon Coleman to left guard. You get Graham Glasgow, who's 34 years old, play center. He's your center. Then you get Cosme and Connerly. That's not a long-term answer at center. I don't care. I want a short-term answer. I want like a today answer at center, because what we saw yesterday was not the answer at center. So whatever they need to do to solidify that position as soon as possible, they should do it. I didn't play super free agency mode with this list, so I have a pretty basic list. I posted this on social media, and the wide receivers was what got the most pushback, so I will share this with you. I have six of them. We've been debating, do they keep seven? Dan Quinn, in the history of his coaching career, has kept seven wide receivers once, and it was his very first year in Atlanta. He has kept seven wide receivers the same amount of time that he has kept five wide receivers, which he did last year. It was the only time he kept five wide receivers, which is hilarious considering how bad the wide receivers were last year. I think the team keeps six. You have Terry and Diggs. You have McCaffrey, Antonio Williams, Jalen Lane. And then what got the most pushback, and if you don't like this, you can tell me, share it with me, 800-636-1067, or tweet me at the Denton Day. I have Diami Brown as the sixth wide receiver over Treylon Burks. Now let me explain myself before you come at me. Call me an idiot. Call me every name under the sun. They need a guy that has legitimate speed to be a take the top off of a defense kind of dude. And the only guy that I trust to do that on the roster right now, or of the group, would be Diami Brown. And when you compare Diami Brown and Treylon Burks together, Diami Brown does something that Treylon Burks does not, which is the speed. I think Treylon Burks is a good player. I would love to keep him if they can find a way, but I don't think you keep seven wide receivers. Again, Quinn's only done it once in his career, and because of the issues at offensive line and because of kind of what happened last year, which is that you don't have a bunch of dudes last year that could get after the passer, that they might try to hoard some guys that could get after the passer. And I have 10 defensive linemen that I have kept. I'll share that list with you shortly. But I have Diami Brown. Another caveat that Diami has that Treylon Burks does not have is that I don't think Diami Brown at this stage of his career is above the idea of playing special teams, not as a returner. The returners to me are set in stone. You get Jalen Lane, his primary punt return, which is why he's on this list. You get Antonio Williams' backup punt return. Jalen Lane fields punts better than anybody on this team. He is a natural when it comes to reading the ball in the air. And then he has showcased last year that he knows what to do with it when he gets the ball in his hands. He's the best punt returner this team has had in a very long time. That keeps him on the list. I also think that Jalen Lane has made a really significant stride in the way that he runs his routes. So as long as he shores the hands up, catches the football, which he works the jugs for like 15 to 20 minutes after practice every single day without fail, let's see that transition into actual game stuff, please. But I think they like what he brings from the slot. Luke was going to be an all-pro kick returner last year. I will die on that hill until he got hurt. I think Diami could still play some special teams, run down on punts, run down on kickoff. I don't know that Treylon Burks would be doing that. So I have Diami Brown over Treylon Burks. And just the history with Diami of the organization is not to say that that's going to be the thing that keeps him. But I think it's important for people to understand Treylon Burks was drafted in the first round. So maybe you look at some of the intangibles and say, well, that should keep him on this roster. In his time in the NFL, it's not like he's blown the doors off of anyone. His best receiving year came in year number one with Tennessee. You're really kind of picking at hairs if you want to do the statistic battle between Treylon Burks and Diami Brown. I mean, if you're going to monitor statistics for anybody other than Terry Diggs and Okonkwo, all of these dudes are under 500 yards for their career, except for Van Jefferson had 1 year in Los Angeles where he went for like 800 with McVay. But every other receiver and tight end on this roster has not even sniffed the idea of 500 yards in a season. So you really get nitpicky with past experiences. I just think that Diami offers something speed-wise that Treylon does not. And then when they signed Diggs, my thought was, Diami's done. Thanks for coming. This has been fun. But they got Stephon Diggs now. You haven't shown a ton in practice. I think you're out of here. They got Stephon Diggs, and then apparently Diami Brown evolved into like the best version of himself, and for 3 days in a row, he was making plays in practice. I mean, you want to talk about a tide rising ships. The acquisition of Stephon Diggs made Diami Brown play the best football in practice that he had played in a long, long time. So I have Diami Brown. That rounds out my six at wide receivers. It's Terry, it's Diggs, it's McCaffrey, it's Williams, it's Lane, and it's Diami, which means Treylon Burks would be the surprise cut to a lot of people for Washington as they narrow down their final 53. Am I an idiot? Do you agree with that? Do you disagree with that? 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We'll take some of your phone calls. We'll read some of your tweets on my final 53. There are a lot from yesterday. You can give me some now at the Denton Day, and then I'll give you my defensive final 53 with another surprise cut on there. That comes your way when we get back. It's D-Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. It's D-Day in D.C., Denton Day, 106.7, The Fan, The Team 980, and the Odyssey app. If you're listening on 980 in about 10 minutes, you're going to lose us. They got the D.C. Grand Prix going on. You can hear that on 980. But we're talking about the final 53 projection that I made. And the biggest takeaway from those on Twitter, and maybe you on the phones at 800-636-1067, the surprise cut that I have for Washington is I have them going six wide receivers with Diami Brown getting the final spot over Treylon Burks. Do you agree with that? Do you disagree with that? Vic is in Maryland, wants to react to my final 53 on offense. Vic, what's up, man?
What's up now, Vin?
How we doing?
I'm pretty good. So it's a hard pill to swallow, but I don't disagree with you. It's a numbers game and it's a business. I think the leverage is what Diami Brown was able to do when he was here his first go round, and why they brought him back. And I think what if they've been able to see him do in camp as well. I wouldn't be surprised if they find a way to make it work for Treylon Burks and get rid of somebody or cut somebody in another position because they want Treylon Burks. And Treylon Burks also contributed last year and making that big catch he did versus Denver.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's a stretch to say that that could happen. I'll say that.
I appreciate that, Vic. I think that's a good call. And that's kind of what it boiled down to when I was thinking about these two players. I was asking myself, is there anything that Treylon Burks does that De'Ami Brown does not do? Because when you're looking at the rest of the roster, I think that needs to come into consideration. And De'Ami Brown is the only guy right now that you think of as like a, he is a for sure downfield, take the top off of a defense level threat. And I think Burks does some good things, but he's not that. And I don't know that he's good enough at some of the other things that he does, and he doesn't play special teams, and it puts him in a really tough position. I'd love to keep all the wide receivers. I'm a big fan of Van Jefferson. If they keep 8 wide receivers, Denton Day would be happy because he likes all of the wide receivers. But in the reality of cutting your roster down to 53, there's just not going to be space for everybody. And Burks has been positioned for the entirety of training camp as a guy that's going to be a part of this team. But we've seen that happen time and time again, where a guy is positioned at the start of camp to be a surefire, he's going to make the team. And then as camp progresses, other guys just draw the attention of the coaching staff. And I think that's really what it's going to come down to. You know, you mentioned the catch that Treylon Burks made last year against Denver. It was a hell of a catch. I don't think anybody's going to doubt that. He only caught 10 balls for 130 yards and a touchdown last year. So it's not like he was this world beater with the offense last year. And then, as you mentioned, they kind of know what De'Ami Brown is. It is weird, admittedly, because De'Ami wanted to stay here. I don't think he ever wanted to go to Jacksonville. And they didn't think he was worth the money that he was asking for. He goes to Jacksonville on a one-year deal. Clearly didn't work out there, and now he's back. So again, it's not like he's a world beater either. But I just think he provides them something that they don't have. And that, when it comes down to trimming the roster down and knowing that Dan Quinn only keeps 6 a majority of his time, he has a very big history and a long history dating back to the days in Atlanta and the first year here of keeping 6 wide receivers. I say first year because last year they only kept 5. Hilarious, I know. They didn't have enough bodies. They were really scraping at the bottom of the barrel to keep the 5. It's an abundance of riches that they have right now at wide receiver. I don't think Burks gets to the practice squad. I think somebody else picks him up. I don't think Jefferson gets to the practice squad. I think somebody else picks him up. So maybe if they think De'Ami Brown does, they keep Burks and put De'Ami on practice squad. But I just have this weird feeling that it's going to be De'Ami as that final guy in the wide receiver room over a guy like Treylon Burks. If you disagree with me, let me know at The Denton Day on Twitter. I posted my full 53 on Twitter, and one of the things that somebody said to me was, Denton, how can you say this when Treylon Burks was getting reps with the ones against Detroit? It's not a bad point. The counterpoint is they played 3 plays. You know, if they played 3 series and he was always with the ones, maybe it's different, but we don't know what kind of formations and what kind of personnel groupings they had up their sleeve if we got to see 7 plays of Jaden Daniels or 8 plays of Jaden Daniels. The fact that we only got 3, I'm not willing to say that that is a guarantee he is on the roster. So I got De'Ami Brown making the final slot. If you're on Team 980, shift over to 106.7 The Fan to keep hanging with us. You get the DC 250 Grand Prix on 980. Next, when we get back on 106.7, I'll give you my defensive side of the final 53. It's D-Day in DC right here on 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980, and on the always free and live Odyssey app. Is D-Day in D.C., 106.7 The Fan, at The Denton Day on Twitter. Some reaction. I gave my Commanders' final 53 prediction for the offensive side with the big news, at least on my projection, is that they kept 6 wide receivers, and Treylon Burks was not one of them. I also did have them keeping Julian Good-Jones because I didn't dive too deep into like free agency with this final 53. A lot of people on Twitter saying that Julian Good-Jones should not be on the roster. Today would not be the day to push back on that, admittedly. I think he could be a depth piece at a guard spot, but I don't want him playing center for my team in 2026. But if you don't think Julian Good-Jones should be on the roster, look, man, today's your day. He did not play well in the three plays that we saw from the offense. A lot of reaction on the Treylon Burks stuff. Michael tweets me and says, I agree with your list for the most part, but I'm sorry. There's no way Burks does not make the team. That would be a really stupid move. Burks has been working with the starters more, and I just don't see him going. I would take Burks over McCaffrey or Diami Brown. McCaffrey feels like he is going to make the team. I'm not going to use the word lock for anybody other than Terry Diggs and Antonio Williams. Those three guys are stone cold locks. Everybody else, I think there is at least some semblance of maybe, just maybe, they are not going to be on the team. I think what separates Luke McCaffrey is the kick returning element of his game. We saw yesterday Craig Reynolds take some kicks back. He's new to the team in the last week or so. He took some kicks back for Washington. He ain't Luke McCaffrey. I don't know what to tell you. Luke is really, really good at taking kicks back, and Craig Reynolds couldn't do it the way that Luke McCaffrey could do it. I mean, Luke was averaging over 30 yards a return before he got hurt last year, which, considering that he's not like he's taking it back from the end zone every single return, he's given you a really good spot on offense, especially if your quarterback is Jayden Daniels. The shorter field that Jayden Daniels has to drive, the better we are going to feel as fans at the end of every Sunday, Thursday, and the occasional Monday. So I think the Luke McCaffrey kick returning element is a really, really big deal. Special teams is a really, really big deal. But there are some of you that feel otherwise, and that's okay. That's what we're here for. At the Denton Day on Twitter, you can give us a call, 800-636-1067, as well, if you are passionate about this list. Let's look at the defensive side now. So here's my Commander's final 53 prediction on defense after seeing two preseason games. Their defensive line, I got a lot of dudes on here. I got 10 total defensive linemen. Now, this is between edge and defensive tackle. Adefe Owe is an obvious one. We haven't seen him in preseason. Fine with me. He's looked really good in camp. I think he's going to look really good on Wednesday in the joint practice with Baltimore. He looked really good against Miami. I think he's going to look really good against Baltimore. And even before the Laremy Tunsil injury, Adefe Owe had been getting some really good reps against Laremy Tunsil. He wasn't beating him like a drum. That's totally unfair. Nobody beats Laremy Tunsil like a drum. But there were some wins for Adefe Owe in a way that was very surprising to me, because not a lot of people beat Laremy Tunsil, and he was getting some wins on reps against LT. I was noticing that. I'm checking that one off. Kalavon Chaisson is obviously going to be on this roster. He's the one. So I feel like years ago, Jay Gruden kind of, he gave fans something to hang on for forever when he hid Terry McLaurin, and then Terry had one game, his first game of his NFL career, where he goes for like $125 on a touchdown. It should have been probably like $190 and two touchdowns, but Case Keenum missed him on a throw. Jay Gruden kind of gave fans something to hang their hat on with this idea that maybe the team is always hiding somebody in the preseason and in training camp. I don't know that that is the goal for Washington, but I would tell you this. If they are hiding anybody, it's Kalavon Chaisson. Really good camp. Wears number 45 on his chest. Really good camp. I think he's looked really good, and I think there's a lot of fans that maybe are not terribly familiar with him from his days in New England and going back to his days in college at LSU that are going to see him for the first time in the regular season and be really impressed with what he is. So Kalavon Chaisson on this list, Daron Payne, Javon Kinlaw, Tim Settle, who is so great to see Tim Settle back, Charles Omenihue, Joshua Josephs, Dorrance Armstrong, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, and then finally, a guy that I thought played well yesterday, Shy Tuttle, is going to make this roster. Shy Tuttle should make this roster. That's a guy that plays on the interior and can really eat bodies on the line of scrimmage. He did it yesterday in the preseason game a few times. He really knows how to occupy space, and he's not a guy that's going to blow up plays on a regular basis, but he's going to do his job really, really well and then rely on those next to him and behind him to come in there and do their job when it comes to stopping run plays or getting after the quarterback. I like Shy Tuttle as a rotational guy on that defensive line, so I have him making this roster. when I put this out on Twitter, somebody did point out, hey, Dorrance Armstrong is suspended. They also asked, hey, where's Dietrich Wise? I do not anticipate Dietrich Wise to start the season on anything other than the pup list. So because of that, you kind of save a roster spot that you don't have to allocate to him. That's the same thing why Laramie Tunsil wasn't on my list on offense. They're going to likely put him on injured reserve so they can, or pup list, so they can hide him, still keep him, but then you open up a roster spot for somebody else. So that's why Dietrich Wise isn't on here. Dorrance is suspended for the first game of the regular season against Philadelphia. You still had to keep him on the 53, though. So you're taking up a roster spot with a guy that is suspended. It's unfortunate, but that's like the NFL's way of not just punishing the player, but punishing the team when you have a guy that's suspended as well. You don't get an extra roster spot for a guy that's suspended. You have to deal with their actions. So that's the 10 defensive line guys that I have. I got four linebackers: Sonny Styles, Frankie Louvu, Leo Chanel. And then I went with Jordan McGee over Ali Cahoe and over Kane Medrano. I've just noticed that McGee is playing a lot more with the twos. So when you traditionally see Sonny Styles and Frankie Louvu as the two linebackers with the ones, it's primarily been Leo Chanel and Jordan McGee with the twos. I think there's an athleticism factor to Jordan McGee that they like. I'd like to see him get more comfortable in the defense that they are trying to run, but I think he plays special teams well as well. So I have Jordan McGee as the fourth linebacker on this list. And then we get to the defensive backs. At corner, I got five guys: Amik Robertson, Trey Amos, Mike Sanristil, Rasul Douglas, and Fabian Moreau. That's pretty cut and dry, I think. As long as Amos is healthy, that one's pretty cut and dry. Those have been the best five guys. I think Amik Robertson has been maybe the best defensive player in camp to this point. He's had a really, really strong camp. He's certainly been, I think, the best cornerback in camp to this point, both from his play on the field. I didn't anticipate this. Didn't know much about him when he was in Detroit. The energy level and the leadership that Amik Robertson has brought since signing here has been very impressive as well. So I think when you think of the idea of what is a commander, he checks all of the boxes. So I think Amik Robertson, I think he's going to be a one that fans really, really like. And then, of course, he destroyed a Lions player yesterday on a blitz. And I like it when my cornerbacks can blitz the quarterback and de-cleat an individual. Safety spot, I got five: Nick Cross, Jeremy Reeves, Percy Butler, Quan Martin, Tyler Owens. I do not have Will Harris. It was not just the play yesterday where he took the worst possible read and was 60 yards away from Joshua Dobbs when he went into the end zone. It's not just because of that. I just think what they are trying to be on defense, I don't know that Will Harris is the perfect block to fit into what they're trying to do. He's a good player, really likes to hit, but you sign Nick Cross, who also really likes to hit. And he doesn't play the same position that a Quan Martin could potentially play, or a Jeremy Reeves or Percy Butler could potentially play. I also think Percy Butler plays really well on special teams. Tyler Owens has showcased the versatility that he can be in a bunch of different spots on any given defensive positional group that you have, their defensive package that you have out there. And Will Harris just doesn't do those things. So the lack of versatility and then just kind of being a little bit more one-dimensional as a player, I don't have Will Harris on the team, but I do have Quan Martin, who's looked good in the preseason and is starting to look good in practice. We'll see what he looks like in the joint practice with Baltimore this week, but I have liked what I have seen from Quan Martin in a way that I didn't really think I was going to like. So those are my five safeties, and then you get Tressway, Drew Stevens, which I'm realizing on this graphic I put up on Twitter, I put Stevenson and not Stevens. L on me, spelling issue on me, and then Tyler Ott. So those are the three guys. That's the final 53. Big takeaways: I do not have Treylon Burks. I do not have Will Harris. Those are the two quote-unquote surprise decisions that I think Washington makes when they have to make some hard decisions on trimming the roster down to 53. Do you agree with those decisions? 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. You can tweet me as well, at The Denton Day. I'll read some of your tweets. I'll take some of your phone calls. If you also want to weigh in on how bad the offensive line was yesterday, I'll take your phone calls there as well. We do that when we return. D-Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. Is D-Day in D.C., Denton Day, 106.7 The Fan. We're on the Odyssey app as well. You can tweet me at The Denton Day. Leading you up to the Nationals game later this afternoon, we're talking about the wide receiver position. We're talking about the final 53. I got a couple of tweets. I put out my prediction after week number two. I would already make some amends to this. I would just go full balls to the wall with the free agency stuff. Bring in some more offensive linemen because we know they should. We don't know that they will, but we know they should bring in some new bodies to at least be competitive on the offensive line. Commander Lou tweets me and says, Denton, I have an idea that they will try and move a wide receiver before cut down. Maybe Luke for a fifth next year. Is it possible? Is it a good idea? It is a great idea if there is a market for one of these wide receivers. The issue that we would run into as the team and as the fans of the team is that it's a little late to be moving some of these guys. And they don't have a lot of money allocated to a lot of these guys. And what I mean by that is that a team is just going to look at it and say, well, if you don't like such and such, we'll just wait for you to cut them. We're not going to give up an asset to take somebody that you might otherwise cut from your roster a week from now. On top of that, so he mentions the Luke thing, right? And this is not the first time I've heard this. If they really wanted to trade Luke McCaffrey, just using him as the example here, I feel like they should have and would have been very obnoxious with the way that they highlight him in the preseason games. And what I mean by that is, if somebody was on the market, if it was Luke, if it was Jalen Lane, if it was Burks, Diami, whoever, I would make sure I throw the ball to that dude 1,000 times in these preseason games to point, hey, look at how good he is. Oh my God, do you see what he's doing to these preseason games? Oh, look at him. He caught 15 passes for 200 yards and 4 touchdowns. You should give us a 5th-round pick for him. I would take that approach. So the fact that they're not really throwing the ball to any of these dudes, I think the time to trade has come and has went. On top of that, I happen to very much like Luke McCaffrey as a kick returner, and I don't want to lose the kick returner. Dave tweets me and says, Denton, they keep Burks. He's lost 10 to 15 pounds. He's faster than everybody thinks. I hope that he's faster than everybody thinks. I hope so. He does look like he's trimmed down a little bit, which has been great. Most guys have in the preseason, so he's not that's not out of the ordinary for a guy to have trimmed down a bit during the offseason. So he does look like he's trimmed down. Part of it might be, and the reason I'm thinking this way, they haven't taken a ton of deep shots in training camp, like in practice. Really, the only guy that's taken a bunch of deep shots has been Ethan Calicmanis. Jaden has taken a couple, and they work on them in individual drills and in one-on-ones. So like against Miami, when Miami came here to joint practice, they were working on some things down the field with receiver versus DB. They were working on some things to the back of the end zone with receiver versus DB, which, by the way, Jaden was shredding Miami. Terry and Stephon Diggs and Burks and Diami and all these dudes, I mean, they look like all pros against that Miami Dolphins secondary. I knew immediately. I was like, all right, this is not a real litmus test for what an actual NFL defense is going to look like. Miami is just, they are a team. And we can say that with confidence. They do exist in the NFL, barely, but they do exist in the NFL. They just haven't thrown down the field a lot. They did try, I think. Now, you're going to get me into doing the preseason bit. I'm going to turn into the Cleveland Browns. I'm going to start keeping track of preseason stats. It's such a wonky bit that they do out there in Cleveland. God love him. Jaden did go deep to Burks a couple of practices ago, and it just didn't work out. I think the timing of the route was a little off, but he vastly overthrew him. So maybe Burks is an absolute speed demon now, then we just haven't seen it. Maybe he's the guy that they're hiding in the preseason. I wanted to see more from Treylon Burks. I think a lot of us are holding on to the idea that he was initially positioned as being one of the starters before training camp started. I wanted to see more from him throughout the course of camp and throughout the course of preseason. Honestly, maybe blame Julian Good-Jones for not holding the block on the play that was going to go. Or not Julian Good-Jones, that actually wasn't him. It was John Bates on the play-action play on second down yesterday. The first down, Jaden maybe could have gotten to Diggs in the on an outbreaking route towards the sideline before he had a bunch of dudes in his face and he threw the ball away. On the play action, that was designed to go to Treylon Burks down the field. It would have been great to see that. This is the reason, really, why we wanted to see the offense a little bit more. Yes, it was to see Jaden, certainly. I'm never going to not want to watch Jaden Daniels play football. But you wanted to see the wide receiver groupings, what they were doing. Burks ran the one reps, but we don't know if they had packages and a few plays where somebody else was going to come in. Because Luke has been working with the ones a lot. Diami had been working with the ones a little bit more frequently over the last few days at practice. My thought has been, wide receiver one is Terry. Wide receiver two is Stephon Diggs. We're not going to get into the argument on who's actually the one and the two. I do think Diggs is going to have a pretty substantial year this year. He and Jaden have developed an instant chemistry, which, let me tell you, has been sensational. But my approach has been that wide receiver three is going to be by committee, which means you're going to see packages with a bunch of different dudes. Sometimes that's going to be Luke. Maybe it's going to be Jalen Lane. Maybe it's going to be Antonio Williams. I think by the end of the year, it'll be a lot more of Antonio Williams than anybody else at wide receiver three. But to start the season, it'll be somebody else getting a vast majority of those reps. Could be Diami. Maybe it ends up being Treylon Burks if they keep him, and I'm wrong. But I've been waiting to see more from him throughout camp, and I haven't been. That's the primary thought process there. Diami elevated when Diggs got here, and I've been waiting for Treylon Burks to do the same, which is why I had him off of my final 53. I appreciate these conversations, though. The back and forth is fun, so keep giving it to me on Twitter, at the Denton Day. Luis tweets at me and says, I don't know how much the line play, or I know the line play was suspect here. He's talking about this first down play, so he tweeted me a still frame of the first down play where Jaden Daniels threw the football away. And he's talking about how Diggs is open, and maybe this is Jaden Daniels holding the ball, kind of like he did at various points in 2025. I would immediately push back on this one, Luis. I would immediately push back and say that Diggs is in the first read on the play that they ran on first down. And because the defensive line was in the face of Jaden Daniels immediately, I don't think going to Diggs was going to be the right option there. He would have had to laser that thing in. He would have had to see it immediately. And because they didn't know what was going on, like, this wasn't a normal blitz, right? So, like, if this was a blitz and a guy was coming in unprotected and they knew that, I think he whips it to Diggs immediately. But because it wasn't that, because this was just a basic stunt on the line of scrimmage, Jaden is not anticipating that a guy is going to be in his face immediately. He's anticipating that his offensive line is going to block the defensive lineman, and that is not going to be a free rusher. Because of that, I don't think he looks over to Diggs in time. If he did see him, the defense was already there, and then you run the risk of the throw not being where it needs to be and being intercepted. You run the risk of his arm getting hit. I think he made the right play in just kind of tossing the ball in the direction of Catron Allen, getting it out, living to see another down here. So I wasn't too bent out of shape with what we saw on that particular play. From the offensive line standpoint, I was bent out of shape. But from Jaden's standpoint, I wasn't bent out of shape. They didn't think that was going to be a free rusher. That wasn't a blitz. That was just the offensive line not communicating in a way that they needed to communicate to make sure that they had everybody accounted for. The offensive line was the biggest issue of the day yesterday, and it really kind of it trickled down to the twos as well, which is why when you look at the box score, you see, oh my God, this team only ran for 35 yards? Yeah, they ran for 35 yards. They had 17 carries as a unit for 35 yards, which is 2.1 yards a carry. Robert Henry Jr., who was the hero against Miami in the first half, carried the ball four times for a total of negative 3 yards. The only guy that was super positive was Hartman, who had one carry for 6 yards. Catron Allen was positive, 10 carries for 30 yards, with one of those being a run for 11. But the offensive line in total could not move bodies at the line of scrimmage. They protected Ethan Calliope-Manis. They protected Sam Hartman. Only one sack on Hartman. Maybe the only one sack after the first sack of Jaden Daniels. So that's good. But they could not move bodies at the line of scrimmage. That was the biggest takeaway, bar none, that everybody on the offensive line was bad. When we get back, we'll get you locked and loaded, ready for the Nationals. They got the final game of their current series, taking on the Miami Marlins. That'll be at 1:40. Pre-game's going to start in roughly 10 to 15 minutes, so we'll get you set for the Nationals in Miami, and just a couple closing thoughts on what we saw from the Commanders and Detroit, and maybe some expectations for the week to come, as their final preseason game is against Baltimore and the joint practice against Baltimore later this week. It's D-Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. Nationals pregame comes your way in a matter of moments here on 106.7 The Fan, their final game with Miami of the weekend. Final closing thoughts here on the day that was yesterday for the Commanders. It's D-Day in D.C. You can tweet me at TheDentonDay. We've had a lot of great interaction on the phones and on Twitter. I love the back and forth. A lot of people criticizing the Burks thing. A lot of people agreeing with me. It's fine. I love it. This is what this medium is all about. This medium is also about, you know, at times, asking guys questions that need to be asked. J.P. Finley asked Jaden Daniels about the LSU thing yesterday. And I want you to hear the response, and then we will give out some praises where they are necessary. So here's J.P. asking Jaden Daniels about the LSU story that dominated a week ago.
Instagram post last week, I think. How is everything going with kind of the fallout with LSU?
Like you said, I posted that, statement it out. But for me now, I was really just focused on Commander football. I said everything I had to say within the statement, and now it's really just getting ready for week one.
And where do you think you guys are in the offense, like learning everything, getting ready for week one?
I think we're still there. I mean, you don't really game plan now. You're still trying to work the fundamentals and everything, your foundation. But I think week by week, I mean, as you week one is getting closer and closer, you start to get into that game planning mode and everything. So I think overall we have the foundation of our offense, and now you just kind of put different wrinkles on stuff and things like that.
So I'm going to praise both guys here. I'm going to start with Jaden Daniels. I thought he handled that perfectly. Jaden has gotten a little bit more comfortable in front of the microphone, which is natural as you are the face of a franchise now in year number three. He's gotten a little bit more comfortable in front of the microphone. He could have got up there. He could have skewered LSU. I have staunchly believed throughout this entire process, there's a lot more that we don't know about the situation that makes LSU look a lot more villainous in this situation. That's fine. Whenever those details come out to play, they will come out to play. But Jaden Daniels handled that really well, and then so did JP. That question was going to get asked. We knew it was going to get asked. In the preseason, the team can get a little, shall we say, they have a lot more influence on the schedule of when and when guys don't speak. Traditionally, during the regular season, the quarterback is speaking every single week. So when that story came out, if it was in the regular season, we would have got thoughts from Jaden Daniels pretty immediately. Because you don't have to have the quarterback speak every single week. It just so happens that it's taken nearly 2 weeks before they've gotten Jaden Daniels in front of a live microphone to ask about a story that has not just dominated the news cycles, but has been very annoying on social media with everybody trying to jump in on the attacks and the jokes about the number thing. I thought JP asked the question that he needed to ask. he didn't harp on the question and then moved immediately to the football stuff, and Jaden handled that like a professional. I know that people want to kind of protect Jaden Daniels in a lot of different ways. The man is an adult, and he handled that way, that sequence, in the best way possible, and that's two adults doing their job and then moving forward. And now guess what? After I'm done with my little soliloquy here, that's the last we're going to hear about it on these airwaves until we get new information. So we can pack that bad boy up, we're done with the conversation, and we can now turn everything to the future and not just sit here and harp on the LSU thing and the jokes that have been relatively awful. Admittedly, there's been a few that I thought were funny, but have been relatively awful in relation to the Jaden Daniels stuff. I did think when his dad showed up wearing a Doug Williams thing and somebody said even his dad can't wear the number, that was funny. All right, that got me to laugh. Shouldn't have laughed at that one, but that one did get me to laugh. But now we're done with it. And I actually thought that Jaden's answer on the where the offense is was a pretty good answer as well. The attention is now on to Philadelphia. I think most of us know that Jaden is not going to play in the final game against the Baltimore Ravens. So the joint practice stuff later this week is going to be really crucial for him playing at a game like speed. I do hope that both sides kind of agree, hey, we're going to ramp it up a little bit. Not to say that they weren't ramped up with Miami, but understanding that these starters aren't going to play. I don't know that Baltimore's played Lamar Jackson all this year, and I can't imagine that changes in the final game of the preseason. So it's going to be really good for both of these sides to get some action. And I hope by the time we get to Wednesday that some of the soft tissue stuff that has limited Adefe Owe and Kalavon Chaisson, along with a few other guys on the defensive line, I hope by the time that we get to Wednesday that those guys are full go. Because I would really like to see what they look like against an offensive line that had a change at center because they let Linderbaum go, but what they look like against an offensive line that is not the Miami Dolphins. Because the Miami Dolphins, according to most NFL brainiacs, are the only team with a worse offensive line than what Washington currently has. So I want to see what they look like, those two, Odafe Owe and Kalavon Chaisson in particular, and then maybe Javon Kinlaw as well, because he's had some really good days at practice. I want to see what he looks like, what those guys look like against a team in Baltimore that we know on a consistent basis is a perennial contender in not just the AFC, but in the entire NFL. So I want to see what those guys look like in the joint against Baltimore in just a matter of days. And then a week from now, this roster gets trimmed. Some really tough decisions are going to have to be made. And this is the first time, certainly I think since Adam Peters and Dan Quinn have been here, where they have legitimately tough decisions that need to be made. Didn't really have a ton of those last year. Certainly didn't have a ton of those the first year. They just needed bodies the first year. They had half the team on a one-year contract the first year. This is the first time that we will actually see Dan Quinn and Adam Peters have to make some really tough decisions, specifically at the wide receiver spot, because the wide receiver spot is very, very deep in ways that it certainly has not been in years previous. Nats pregame coming up. Nats get their final one with Miami in Miami. It's going to be Jackson Kent on the mound, at least he's scheduled to be right now for the Nationals, who's 0-1 with a 9.39 ERA, taking on Jackson Junk, who's 6-8 with a 4.37 ERA. So rooting for the Nationals today. Well, we got our eyes on football season coming up here with the Commanders entering the final week of preseason and training camp and then cutting that roster down to 53 by the end of it. Big thanks to Wes doing a great job producing the show from our DC studios. Thanks to everybody that interacted on the phones and on Twitter. If you're not following me, you can do so at The Denton Day. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. I'm back out at camp on Tuesday reacting to what I'm seeing. I'll talk to you then. See ya.
Stand by, 30 seconds till billboard on the Nats Radio Network. Three.